I hope you've had a great afternoon and you are looking forward to the rest of our worship hour together. And then this is the Lord's Day. It's a great day. The Lord has made it. We need to be rejoicing and be glad in it, looking forward to the beginning of a new week. School starts again tomorrow. We ought to be excited about a new week and a new day. This morning, your place over here was absolutely empty. Great to see you all back. Hope you had a great trip. We appreciate our youth group, and we're so very glad to have them back. It's one of the things to say about life now that is really popular. We're on a journey in life. Everybody in the room, on a journey. Where are you headed? Well, lots of answers to that question. I am so old-fashioned, I decided to use the title, A Path, instead of a Journey. Now, sometimes the road gets so small, it's like a path, and the way is pretty tough, and it's like a path, but that path is most definitely a journey through trouble. I want to read with you tonight from James chapter 1, these verses that are there, verses 2 through 8. As we think about it, this is such a paradoxical passage in a way, because it tells you you're going to suffer, and then it says count that as joy. It's kind of like have a ball when you break your leg, or enjoy all the pressures and problems that come your way when you make mistakes or life just happens. But James, I think, has a lot to say to us about our path to faithfulness. If you're going to be faithful, I can tell you this, it isn't going to be easy. It isn't going to be because life just unfolds the way you want it to, and you want everything going in the same direction that it goes only when it's good. Life is not always easy, and the path is a journey through trials. James says it this way, as we take a look at this message, he says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds. You know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. I don't know where you are in your journey, and I don't think it matters if you're young or if you are old, like some of the folks in this room. It doesn't matter. That journey is going to include trials, temptations, problems of different kinds. Now, I want you to notice what this passage says. It doesn't say if you fall into trials. I tell students sometimes in my Bible class, some of you have been somewhat like me. Life has been pretty easy. It's been pretty good. Things have worked out well for you to this point. And if it has, I sometimes say a dumb phrase like, you better buckle your life's seatbelt, because some trial is coming. Some problem is going to come up, and it won't be easy to deal with. It won't be easy to handle. So you count it all joy when you fall into trials of various kinds. That's what verse 2 says. It's not when, rather it is when, it's not if. Now, please notice that he says when you fall into trials. There's a big difference in falling into trials and choosing trials. King David's a perfect example of that. If you read the book of 1 Samuel, and you read in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, here's a teenage boy going out to take his brother something to eat on the battlefield. He comes and he does what no soldier in that army would do. He said, who in this world would permit an uncircumcised Philistine to hassle the army of God? That's my rough translation of the passage. Nobody's going to go out there. So David is a 17-year-old boy. He decides he's going to go out. Saul says, well, at least take my armor. Saul was a pretty good king, right? He's going to let this young boy go out there and face this seasoned veteran of a soldier and a giant on top of that. You go out and face him, take my armor. But David put the armor on, it didn't fit. He couldn't wear it. So you know the story real well, don't you? He goes out, he takes some smooth stones from the creek as he gets ready to go across this brook, and he goes out, he slays the giant, cuts his head off. What a great day. But he falls into trials when the king becomes jealous. Saul tries to kill him. He spends a lot of effort, a lot of energy, time trying to catch up with David and kill him. David hides in caves, and there's so many problems because David fell into trials. He didn't ask the king to search him out to kill him. The king became jealous and started chasing him and wanting to kill him. David had trial after trial after trial, not of his own doing. So when you read 1 Samuel, you just can feel sorry for David because he really made a great thing out of the trials that he fell into. The Lord blessed him, chose him, made him the great king, a man after God's own heart. But when you transition into 2 Samuel and you begin reading in the book of 2 Samuel in chapter 11, David falls into trials and problems of his own choosing. So we can't say that he fell like we could in the book of 1 Samuel. Now he's raising his hand and he's saying, I want some real trials in my life. So he begins a relationship with Bathsheba, which leads him to deceive and lie and eventually murder and trying to cover it up. That's not exactly what James is talking about. James is talking more about 1 Samuel chapter 17, 18, 19, in there where David had no part in determining his own trials and troubles. He just did what was good. The people loved David, and they were talking about Saul killing his thousands, David killing his 10,000s, and great jealousy erupted. Great example of falling into trials and then choosing life. So we're going to have trials, whether we fall into them or whether we choose them. But in all of that, here's what the Bible in this story that James is giving us tells us. The goal is to develop patience. We are going to face trials. Sometimes God designed trials. So what's the purpose of that? It seems like circular reason, doesn't it? You face trials so you can develop faith, so you can face trials, and you can develop patience, and you face trials. It just seems like that's what God is thinking about and talking about. And in one sense, perhaps it is. But if you look at this passage that is here, as you read this text, you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. When you are in the middle of a trial, whether you fell into it or whether you choose it, your goal ought to be developing steadfastness, patience. It's a hanging in there, staying faithful to God. We are examining the concept of faithfulness, and we are talking about walking through this journey filled with trials. So we want patience. We want steadfastness. It isn't going to come if things are going great, and that's what you have all the time. It's when those problems come and you begin to trust in the Lord. Because you see, when you let steadfastness have its full effect, You develop that hanging in there. Doesn't mean trials are going to go away. Doesn't mean they won't come back. It means you're going to hang in there with whatever trial you have, and you're going to be prepared for other trials to come, and they are going to come, and they're going to come, and they're going to come. And when you and I let the full effect of facing trials come, you are going to be perfect. And the word means complete. It doesn't mean you're going to make no more mistakes. It doesn't mean you're going to have no more trials. It just means that you will develop the maturity in the most complete way you can so that you can begin to face those trials because of steadfastness. That's the full effect of having problems in your life. But the goal in your life ought to be patience. But if you're going to get there, you got to have wisdom. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, there's wise people in this room. I have sought counsel from people in this room because I believe you're wise. But none is wise enough to stop thinking we need more wisdom. We need more. I've been in circumstances with my family, with my children, with people I've been trying to help, where I've just had to say, I do not know what to say. I don't know what to tell you. If you're going to keep making those choices, I don't know what else to tell you. And so I don't have enough wisdom. But I keep seeking wisdom from God. And God promises that He gives generously to all, even for you. God gives wisdom generously. He will give it to me. He'll give it to you. And it will be without reproach. God is ready to help you through your path, your journey, whichever way you want to look at it. He's wanting to help you through your journey that's full of trials. Trying to help you develop patience to face those trials. And when you are facing those trials, you need wisdom. When we look at 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 14, David chose to behave wisely in all these ways. Saul is after him. He's trying to kill him. And David would not take the life of the king. He had chances. He refused to do it because he wanted to act wisely. This is God's anointed, David said more than once. He would not take the life of God's anointed. So David chose in that case to behave wisely in all of his ways. So today, most of you in this room, you're on this journey. Whatever your trials are, God has told us about it. And He's told us that if we face those trials in an appropriate way, we're going to develop steadfastness and patience, and we're going to need wisdom to do it. We just saw in the book of 2 Samuel, David had used wisdom back in the first chapter, but he chose not to use wisdom. When we start thinking about this need of wisdom, look at Proverbs. Read chapters 1 through 9 and just pick out the qualities that are associated with wisdom. You want wisdom? The wise man said, if you want wisdom, listen to the instruction of God. Get his book out and read it. And when it tells you to guard your tongue, guard your tongue. When it tells you to think about the way you talk, you listen to what God says. You be instructed. The Bible teaches us that the person who hates instruction is a fool. Oh, all of us have hated instruction at one time or another. But if you want wisdom, you will recognize the foolishness of rejecting the wisdom of God that is found in God's instruction. You're going to begin to try to understand understanding and wisdom go hand in hand. When you understand, the more you know of God's instruction, the more you understand God's instruction, the wiser person you will be. The choices that you make will be wiser. Prudence. How is it that we make such good decisions that are easily defended? Those prudent choices are the ones that people say, wow, what a wise person. How thoughtful that person is. The more you know God's instruction and the more understanding you have of God's word, the greater degree to which your response to life will be prudent. And then discretion, choosing the best. You can look at this situation and that situation, and the more you know about God's instruction and the greater understanding you have, the more prudent you want to behave, the wiser your choices will be. You will have greater discretion. You need learning, wisdom and learning. The more you know about God, the more you know about God's will, the more you know about God's kingdom, the more you know about righteousness, the more you know about grace, the wiser you're going to be in the choices that you make. Wow, that's a list. It's a great list. It's a tough list. But you're going to have trials, whether you choose them or whether you don't choose them. You're going to have them. And you're going to need endurance, patience, steadfastness. And the way to reach out and grab hold of that is by looking at what these passages in the book of Proverbs teaches you about qualities that you're going to need if you have wisdom. And then James tells us wisdom comes by trusting God. You see, if I don't trust God, what difference does His word make to me? What difference does the instruction that God gives to me? What difference does that make? What difference if I decide between this and that, if I don't care about God and I don't care about His word? You see, James says, if you want wisdom that you are going to need to be complete, to be mature enough, to hang on in times of trouble and trial and strife, if you want that kind of steadfastness, you're going to have wisdom. And the only way to develop the wisdom of God is trusting God. Ask in faith, not doubting. I just keep on thinking about my Perry County buddies that used to teach pre-Bartlett. And they would have all kinds of old sayings. And I can remember Boy Kirk talking about this old guy up in Perry County. They needed rain, and the church was going to pray for rain. And this guy who was a faithful member of the church said, well, I tell you what, I'll pray for rain, but I ain't believing it's coming as long as the wind's coming out of the direction it is. You see, he's going to pray in doubt. You ever do that? You ever pray to God for something, but you doubt that God is capable or God is willing to do what God says that He will do? Ask in faith with no doubting. The one that doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. You doubt if the wind's blowing in this direction, you're going to come over here and you'll be with these people. And when you don't like what these people say and you're doubting, the wind's going to blow and you're going to come back over here and be with these people. That's the way a lot of people live their lives. They go with whichever direction the wind is blowing. I love it when Jesus is asking His followers, what did you go out to see when you went out to see John the Baptist? Did you go out to see a reed driven by the wind? That's not John the Baptist. John the Baptist was firm. He said, you are a bunch of snakes. You're a brood of vipers. He wasn't trying to soft soak the message. He wasn't trying to win friends and influence people by being sweet and kind and nice. He was not about to let the wind blow him away from the message that God gave him as the forerunner of Christ. When he said, "The one that comes after me, I am not worthy to reach down and tie his shoes." You see, we need to be people like John the Baptist in terms of standing firm. The person that is driven by the wind like the waves of the sea, that person must not suppose that he will receive anything. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He can't make up his mind if he wants to be a Christian or if he wants to be like everybody else in high school or junior high or elementary or in college or at work when you get out and get a job. You get all these people doing the wrong kinds of things. Am I going to be like them or am I going to be like God asked me to be? You see, one of our good friends in this room spoke to this group over here and he said to them, "I had two groups of friends." Not good. Not good. You see, when he was with one group, he was over here driven by the wind. And he told them, "I didn't behave very well when I was over here with this group. But I had another group of friends that were my church friends." I think that was his term. He would drift back over here with his church friends and he would behave the way his church friends did. He would talk the way his church friends did. He did all of the things that church friends ought to do. But you see, what happens and what he was trying to help these young people see is when you do that, you're exactly what James said. You're a double-minded person, unstable. Are you listening to this? In all of your ways. You see, you're not okay just because you're over here with church friends. You're not okay just when you're with church friends. You got to behave that way when you're over here, if you're in this group of friends over here. Wisdom comes through faith. Ask God. He says that he will give generously. Here's some thoughts as I close this message tonight. Two great qualities, wisdom and faith. Do you have the faith to possess the wisdom God wants you to have? Without wisdom, how can you know how to respond to the trials? Sometimes without wisdom, in our double-mindedness, we think it's okay to do ugly things to people or say ugly things to people, to not do the good things that we know we ought to do because we've been mistreated in life. We want to respond in a way that is so unwise. Without wisdom, we will not respond to the trials of life in the way that you can, but without faith. You won't have the wisdom to properly face the storms of life. James teaches us God has a plan. That plan is not if we are going to face trials, but when we face trials, for us to work at hanging in there so much so that we produce steadfastness. We're going to hang in there. And we are going to need wisdom to hang in there, and we're going to need faith to have wisdom. But where are you? Where are you in God's plan for us during difficult times? My hope and my prayer is that if you've never been baptized into Christ, you came tonight to hang in there with Christ in his kingdom by being buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in the newness of life, becoming a child of God because of your faith in Christ Jesus. I hope that your trials have driven you enough towards steadfastness, patience, that you have sought God's wisdom and you've developed the faith to trust in the Lord and do not lean on your own understanding. And he will guard your heart and life. If you're an unfaithful Christian, my prayer is that you came in this building tonight determined that you were going to do something about that, determined you were going to turn away from that, grab hold of the steadfastness that's available through the wisdom that God can give to you generously because of the faith that you develop in God. Don't make this invitation song just another song you need to respond. Don't make this worship just another worship. Choose God, trust in Him, and come if you need to stand in the